against the president. Well, I couldn't see who was doing it, but I can't imagine that the Democrats were cheering against Obama in favor of the Republicans. This is a big mistake. What he's done is turn support of Israel into a partisan issue. That was the whole point of the beginning of his talk, to cover over the fact that he made that blunder, and now he's perduring in continuing that blunder. That was a big mistake. That damage has already been done. And so what you're going to see now, I think, is a man, Obama, who has nothing to lose now. He can't run for president again. And I think he's convinced that his legacy depends on the deal with Iran. And I think that what he's doing is carrying through and making sure something comes of that. And I think there may even be an element of personal animosity involved in it by now. He can't stand Netanyahu. And this is his way of thumbing his nose at both Netanyahu, the Israel lobby, and the Republicans.
Keep noticing that people are still clapping there in Congress, filled with applause. Okay, let's talk about the partisanship issue, because there's obviously been an injection, as Susan Rice has said, that has actually, according to her words, been very destructive and is, as she said, destructive of the fabric of the relationship that exists between Israel and the U.S. What do you think?
Carver, Susan Rice made the harshest criticism of the prime minister. And if we notice yesterday, in after the AIPAC speech by Bibi Netanyahu, President Obama comes out and says, this destruction would not be permanent. But he did admit there would be destruction. Something is important. You talked about the issue of bipartisanship. Sure, the prime minister came and said, I am sorry that this is being perceived as a partisan issue. That was not my intention. Well, Mr. Prime Minister, that was your intention, fact of the matter. Most important, if you look at the number of Democratic senators and members of the House that did not come, 56 of them, the last count that we have to take a look at, as Professor said, how this is going to impact, really, the 2016 election. President Obama does have something to lose, in my opinion. First of all, this is the office of the presidency. This is not just about President Obama. If Benjamin Netanyahu is injecting his direct influence in the American legislative system. In other words, if Benjamin Netanyahu is directly impacting foreign policy of the United States, which the president of the United States says that is a red line, we all have our political processes, that would be a big time red line, and Obama's legacy in some shape or form will be damaged.
Well, so I'm sorry to jump in. I really want to get have this point addressed by both of you, because that would be, well, in a sense, unheard of, unless you think that that has been going on. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think that's a very important point, because if the president's legacy is being viewed, a foreign leader is directly impacting American foreign policy. We've known that through a lobbying organization, Israel has been doing it. But this is a new chapter. This is a new phase. This will change the dynamic. So in that respect, this is very, very, very destructive in that matter. And president will not tolerate that. At least the president of the United States that we know and we've seen for the past six years should not be tolerating this issue.
So what do you think, Professor? Maybe behind the scenes this was going on, but now it's out in the open?
On
the Israeli Prime Minister directing foreign policy of the U.S.
Actually, I think it's a very good point. I think Netanyahu is overestimating a couple of points. First of all, his English is good. His American, you know, sound bites and all these theatrical and satirical skills, you know, he uses in the Congress. He also overestimates his right-wing Republicans don't think that all Republicans support him. And he overestimates this type of propaganda, but it has not worked. It has not worked, and it has been creating, actually, producing resentment of such a personality. If you really listen to what has been broadcasted, if you remember at G20 summit when Hollande, the president of, Sarkozy, the former president of France, and Obama were talking, and they didn't know that the mics, mic was on. It was on, and so it was somehow in the hall that, oh, I have to deal with him. You don't know how Toffee, how bad he is. I mean,
I have to deal with him every day. I think is what he said. I have to talk to him every day.
Every day, because you know, Sarkozy complained. You know, Sarkozy was the most right-wing president of France in recent memory, but he complained about this right-wing, you know, Israeli prime minister. That look, he's bad. And Obama said, "Oh God, I have to deal with him. Put your, you know, your feet in my shoes and see in what situation I am." So resentment is clear, and I think personal factor is there. And more importantly, I think he is making a division in American politics, which is beyond the limit of any, let's say, external player. And this overestimation would not be accepted, especially by American political elites. Yes, they are using a lot of money, but even these lobbies. I would like to raise the issue of Israeli lobbies. You know, I think AIPAC is close to Netanyahu, but you know, not all Israeli or American Jews who support Israel support AIPAC. AIPAC, for the first time, lost a lot of credibility just 2 years ago, and then you see the emergence of a new lobby called J Street. J Street is pro-Israel, but it's not pro-Likud. It's not pro-Netanyahu. And it doesn't approve this language and this type of pronouncement. And it is for the deal, you know. Furthermore, there is let's say, poll of the American Jewish community, how they think about this deal. And do you know that 80% of them support this deal? So it shows that Netanyahu is overestimating, and I think this dominance in public would negate his intention. You will see that Obama is not going to yield to his words. You'll see that Obama, not just for the Lakers, because Obama is also a human being. If you are a human being and you are the president of a country, and you see that you are humiliated in your capital by a foreigner who knows, you know, I mean, you will respond. It's very, very, let's say, and I think I have seen some analysis that actually the main loser is this person, I mean, Netanyahu, and it would positively impact not just the steel, the process and the style that Obama is using. What's the Obama style? Mm-hmm. Obama style is not to go for military operation as the allies of United States want. Allies of United States want to, the United States to use its military muscle every minute, in every case. And Obama is saying, "Yo, I don't lose the money, the blood, prestige, power of United States for your desires, mm-hmm. which are contrary to mine."
Well, talk about war. It seems like these days, maybe it's been happening for a while, that Israel is becoming really good friends with Saudi Arabia. So do you think that were, again, this deal to happen, that Israel is going to try to gather some steam behind some kind of action against Iran, or to ramp up this negativity towards Iran, regionally speaking?
Well, Saudi Arabia is a major ally of Israel, and it's an open secret, and everyone knows about it. Maybe they just don't go in the open and shake hands. But Saudi Arabia very much listens to what Israel and the United States wants Saudi Arabia to do. And Saudi Arabia is a major human rights violator in the world, maybe second only to North Korea. And what we are seeing today is Saudi Arabia trying to help the concept of creating an atmosphere wherein Iran is under pressure and Iran might have to give concessions under pressure. So Saudi Arabia helps targeting Iran's lifeline, and is the oil prices. So Saudi Arabia is trying to help Israel in this regard by trying to impact the oil prices in such a way that Iran is coming under pressure and might have to make some concessions during the nuclear negotiations. But what we are seeing today is that not only Israel is creating chaos in the Middle East region, Israel is creating chaos in Washington, D.C. Israel is creating a lot of political controversy in a country that is already struggling with an economy that is trying to develop, is trying to get back on its feet. America and the people in the United States, the taxpayers, really do not have much time and energy and not more money to waste on Israel. Mm. Israel is wasting the American people's time, is wasting the American politicians' time. They have more important things to do. They have to think about how to bring their economy back on its back on track. But today, the Prime Minister of Israel is trying to spread Iranophobia. He's trying to create an atmosphere where those congressmen who are there in the Congress listening to a foreign leader that is humiliating their leader, that is President Obama, those congressmen are actually not serving the best interests of America. And they will have to, history will tell. Maybe decades after this, people would speak about this. How did they allow a foreign leader to speak at the U.S. Congress when that foreign leader was there to disrespect the president of the United States? That is huge, and the American people will start asking questions, and those congressmen will have no answers for those questions, definitely.
Well, I would think the American people should ask questions when you got 60 million on food stamp, but, you know, some are saying, you know, this is just a rift between Obama and Netanyahu. I mean, just a couple of weeks back, or last week, was it that they, I think, approved the sale of, 13 or 15 F-34 fighter jets, the annual aid over $3 billion. You know, it's just keeps coming, unwavering support. At the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva, John Kerry said, stop zooming in on Israel, and again, pledge his support and loyalty. So this is just a phase, or is Israel a liability for the United States when all is said and done?
Well, Israel is a liability on the balance sheet. At least financially, we know it's a liability. But President Obama, if we take a look back in the past 6 years, President Obama was directly contributing to $20 billion worth of security equipment, sending security equipment over to Israel. Something we should know, I think the Israeli Prime Minister started his speech to the Congress by giving a history lesson on Iran. But the Prime Minister needs to actually take a history lesson in terms of former Prime Minister's relationship with the American president. Let me give you a few examples. Number one, if you remember back in 1992 when George Bush was the president, George Bush stopped the loans that he gave to the Israelis after he found that the Israelis are increasing the settlements and expanding the settlements, which caused, at the time, Yitzhak Rabin to win the elections. We go back to 1996, we look at what Bill Clinton did. Bill Clinton tried to fight Netanyahu at the time he was campaigning and took the side of Shimon Peres. So this is nothing new. What the American political system has been telling the Israeli Prime Minister in the past and in the present time, don't get into our politics, because if you do, we will cut you off. They've done it in the past. It was bipartisan. But this time, I think also the majority leader in the House, John Boehner, is doing a political gamble as well. He wants to undermine President Obama, no doubt, but he should not be doing it on a foreign policy and sensitive matter like the Iran nuclear negotiation, and he's been doing that. But in terms of